The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
8 o'clock hour. Come on. Thursday, August 16th, 2018. I'm rolling through Twitter, you know, for things large and small, just seeing what, it's kind of funny. People go, ooh, I got to get off Twitter. Twitter's too ugly. Twitter's too mean. Twitter's too stupid. Use it for whatever you want to use it for. I follow hundreds of people whose opinions I crave, either because I really agree with them and enjoy how they phrase things, really disagree with them, but enjoy how they phrase things, really disagree with them and think they're bat poop crazy and just want to keep track of how that whole coven is operating, or people who aren't political at all and just do interesting stuff. So I mean, social media, Twitter, Facebook, whole thing, it is what you make of it. If it's driving you crazy, you don't have it under control, and it's completely under your control. Come on. So anyway, pardon the long story there. Somebody had, I don't even know, somebody retweeted just a little factoid. You ready? A factoid. Today's date is a palindrome. Reads the same backwards and forwards. Right? 8/16/18. Eight, of course, not if it's 0/8. I mean, like they sometimes make you do on forums. 8/16/18. And I thought about it and said, isn't that true? Hadn't that been true for a few days? And isn't it true for a few more? Yep. 8/10 to 8/19, August 10th to August 19th. The date reads the same backwards and forwards, right? 8/10/18, 8/19/18, everything in between. There you go. I love stuff like this. How often, in fact, the year of my birth, 57, is the reverse of the year of my high school graduation, 75. Hey, that won't happen again. When will that happen again? Kids born in 2024, graduating in 2042. Right, there you go. I think my favorite one was when I was in college, and the Washington Post ran a thing and said, hey, guess what? There's a certain – during lunch hour today, something fascinating will happen. It'll be 12:34 – on May 6, 1978. What does that have to do with anything? Well, if you take the time and the date, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's it, everybody. Mike Gallagher Show is next. I'll get to something important. All right, we got a lot of important stuff going on. I'm going to share the Father Josh Whitfield column. I'm a married Catholic priest who thinks priests shouldn't get married. It's because he brought the wife and family into the Catholic fold and but recognizes the value of celibacy because everybody's bagging on celibacy. Well, that's the problem, is that's driving the priest nuts and they're attacking little boys. I don't believe that for a minute. Does celibacy make the priesthood an occasional unfortunate destination for really troubled young men who think that maybe hopping into the priesthood will fix them when all it really does is light their fires? I mean, I don't know. Does that happen? I'm sure it does, but that's not celibacy's fault. And this hour, let's do this. City of Dallas needs more cops, right? Maybe a number of local jurisdictions do. When you go hiring new cops, should they, must they live in the town they're going to be policing? Because there's a Dallas City Councilman who says, all right, if we need new cops in Dallas, you know, and you live in Garland, nope. You know, you live in Plano, nope. You live in Duncanville, nope. Got to live in Dallas to be a cop in Dallas. My first thought is, that's stupid? I can sort of see the logic because that's where it is Dallas taxpayers who are paying your salary. So shouldn't you kind of be a Dallas taxpayer? I can see it. But, you know, right offhand, I'm a big broad marketplace guy. And if the police force in town A contains residents of town B because they put the job out at a certain salary and the cop who's a good cop was willing to take that. It just seems that everyone is well served by that transaction happening, even if the cop lives in another town. And so I would say no on that requirement. And I think it may also be a violation of state law. So there is that, too. So I'll check that story out as we proceed. But first, about an hour ago, made the announcement and spat it out about three times during last hour. And that is what you gonna do on the evening of October 24th. Where will you be? I'll bet I know, or I've got a suggestion. And that is the Battleground Talkers Tour. I will be joined by some of my best friends in the industry. Remember when we had Larry Elder in town at the Palace Theater in Grapevine? Wasn't that great? We're bringing Larry back. Oh, and we're also bringing in my brother from another mother, Mike Gallagher. Mike's traipsing around with Larry, with listeners in Hawaii. He'll be back on Monday with stories aplenty, I'm sure. So Mike Gallagher coming in too. And what else should we do? Who else should we have? How about just the one of the most thoughtful, magnificent people I know in or out of radio, Dennis Prager. We'll be T-minus 13 days to the election, inside of 2 weeks to the midterms. That'll mean so much. Is Ted Cruz going to survive this Beto O'Rourke thing? You know, is Pete Sessions going to survive the challenge from Colin Allred? The answer to both of those is absolutely, if we are on our game and not asleep at the switch. So this is combination pep rally, briefing, party, whatever you want to call it. Oh, hang on a second. I understand someone else is going to be joining us. And that would be former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer. His book, The Briefing, is out. And if you want to go VIP at our event, get a free copy of Sean's book. He'll sign it for you. He'll be backstage. Why not? So come backstage with us, or that's, I think, 135. 30 gets you in the building. And where is the building? The Irving Art Center, the Battleground Talkers. I will be joined by Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, Larry Elder, Sean Spicer. We will get you ready. Get you ready for the midterm elections that are just 13 days afterward. The night is October 24th at the Irving Art Center, and tickets are on sale right now at 660amtheanswer.com. And you can also get them on the Mark Davis Show Facebook page. So go get those. VIP is going to fill up fast. And the Irving Art Center is a wonderful sized place. There are no bad seats, but that's going to fill up too. So go. Get your tickets now. Battleground Talkers, me, Larry Elder, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, Sean Spicer, you. So you got to take care of the you part. I'll take care of everybody else. I'll get everybody else into the building. You get yourself into the building and bring the family, bring the kiddos. If this is like, if you got a teenage, a son or daughter who's just sort of paying attention to the election, maybe for the first time, you know, trying to figure out the whole Trump phenomenon, what's going on, what's happening, please just bring everybody. We're just going to have the best time, and it's not the same without you. 660amtheanswer.com. Tickets on sale for the Battleground Talkers. That'll be the evening of October 24th at the Irving Arts Center. We will see you there. Tickets on sale now at 660amtheanswer.com. All right, I'll share the Father Josh column here in a minute because he came in from the Episcopal faith. The Catholic Church does not say that you can't be married and be a priest. It says that if you're going to become a priest, you can't get married afterward. But they will welcome folks from other faiths who feel the calling and want to convert to Catholicism. I mean, every church is all about conversion, bringing people into the fold. It is interesting. It means that it is not the position of Catholicism that you said that a wife and family is a disqualifier. It's interesting. So Father Josh at St. Rita in Dallas comes into the fold some years ago. They obviously did not make him ditch the wife and family. And so he's a married Catholic priest who thinks that celibacy is an awesome idea. He's not practicing it, obviously, so makes it a kind of an interesting triangulation. I'll share his thoughts here in a minute. But first, we've got people here on the phone, so let's take care of those folks. 866-660-5759. On this, should cops have to live in the town that they serve? The yanking of the John Brennan security clearance. All of these are hot and active here on the talk show Griddle. We are in Garland. Mark. Hey, Mark Davis. Welcome. How are you?
Hey, I just, on John Brennan and security clearance, that's a tool by which he makes a living.
Yep.
I mean, he has, and much much of our private military, much of our defense contractors depend on these people having security clearances. They access information that's classified.
Yep.
And deal with classified information, and mm-hmm. and it his business that he has, or he's the CFO of the analysis group. He doesn't, you know, it's going to curtail what he can do.
Now, well, and also it also informs various other things that he does on national television, which is spewing hate of the president of the United States. This is not about Trump criticism. This is about whether somebody who is this unhinged should have access to that kind of information. And that is no. And listen, if we're right into the beginning of a Democrat administration and the previous Republican administration has people launching ad hominem, cruel, brutal, vicious, adolescent rage attacks on a Democrat president, I'd say exactly the same thing. And maybe, and thank you, Mark, maybe this is a time to reach a certain clarity that maybe these clearances need to disappear when people leave that job anyway. When's the last time a president rang up a former person like that and really benefited that much? You know, so just saying. We're in Dallas. Regina. Hey, Mark Davis. Welcome. How are you?
Hi.
Hey.
Good. I just have an anecdotal story, you know, where they have these coffees with cops. There's a whole bunch that go to McDonald's.
Yes.
I was there one day and mm-hmm. talking to the policeman and we were talking about other things, and then it had to do with where do they live, and not one of 20 right around me lived in the Dallas area. And
wow.
I said, why? It surprised me. And they said, can't afford it,
yeah.
was the first thing. And the second thing was kind of like to leave their job and go to another place where they're kind of just a citizen, you know, that it made it easier sometimes if they weren't just living in the neighborhood, and then people would call them instead of just calling 911.
Thank you. Interesting. All right, so that I understand correctly, and this all comes to Councilman Kevin Felder has said, look, if we're going to hire a bunch of Dallas cops, they need to live in Dallas. And I don't know about that. And Regina's story is she was at an event and had a bunch of cops, not a one of them, bunch of Dallas cops, and they said that there's something about getting away from work. A lot of people go, boy, in Texas, don't some of y'all commute, you know, 45 minutes? Yep, and they do it gladly because there's work and then there's home. You just kind of like to get away. And if that's what informs some of them, I guess, huh? Yeah. All right. Thank you. Now that's another whole talk show. What if? Well, all right, what if everybody on your block knows you're a cop, and you know you want to be a good neighbor, so you got, you know, your 10 houses on either side of you know your name, know your phone number, know your family. Yeah, do you become sort of the private security force for the neighborhood? Yeah, you know. Yeah, Debbie down the street says she thinks somebody's lurking outside the window. You know, well, let's call Bill. He's three houses down. You know, he's packing. He's a cop. But here's the thing. That would happen if you're a Dallas cop living in Dallas. But what if, you know, what if you live in Richardson or McKinney and they know you're a Dallas cop? Aren't you still the private security force for the neighborhood if people take advantage? You should never take advantage of that. Yeah, I'm going to come down on the no side of this. Here's the story. Councilman Kevin Felder doesn't like the fact that so many Dallas police officers live in other cities, don't pay property taxes in Dallas, nor spend their money in the city. What do you mean they don't spend? Well, if you live somewhere, you're going to spend a lot of your money. I've never lived in Dallas in my life. I've spent a ton of money in Dallas. You kidding me? So he wants to require the city's police officers to be Dallas residents. But okay, Charlie Wilkison is executive director of CLEAT, one of the great acronyms, CLEAT, the Combined Law Enforcement Associations of Texas. He says Felder may not realize that requiring officers to live in the cities they police is a violation of state law. Quote from Charlie: hopefully he's not talking about something punitive and instead talking about a way to encourage officers to move to Dallas or stay in Dallas. Mr. Wilkinson says he's in favor of officers living in the communities they police, but it has to be a choice with incentives and not a requirement. I would completely agree. And again, as a marketplace guy, if I have a city and I'm trying to staff my police department with the best folks I can find, I'm prepared not to give a rip where you live. Is there something nice and charming and lovely about you living right here in the town? You bet. But if you want to come into the town and give your time and your talents and protect the people of my town, I got two words for you. Thank you. Or actually two other words. You're hired. I think you're disqualifying a bunch of people if you develop this weird cocoon thing and say, nope, you know, you may be incredibly talented and, you know, have a heart for service and blood. We've got openings and you want to fill one of those jobs, but nope, because of your zip code. That seems dumb to me. How about you? 866-660-5759. This, the Brennan clearance, the celibacy thing. I'll get to Father Josh's column on, again, an actual married priest who says celibacy's awesome. It's a good idea. Don't ditch that. And by the way, thanks for welcoming me in from the Episcopal faith, he says. That's Father Josh Whitfield of St. Rita. Wrote a column like spring of last year. I've still got it, so share that. It's germane. 823 Mark Davis, 660 AM, the answer. We're in Flower Mound. John, Mark Davis, how are you? Welcome, sir.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Hi. I just wanted to talk about the celibacy issue and the priests. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you that, and it's an issue Paul talks about it's good to have a wife if this is a problem for you. But it really comes down to condition of the heart. And for a lot of, our Protestant brothers and sisters out there who might be speaking bad about the Catholics, we have our issues in the Protestant church. Most recently, Bill Hybels of Willow Creek Church up in Chicago resigned because he had wandering hands, in addition to the whole board up there. And we could go on and on.
Yeah, but there's one of these things is not like the other. There's not a unified racket of Protestant clergy looking to facilitate and enable people having sex with children. It is a little different.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, there's misbehavior in every clerical stripe. No, ain't nobody perfect, and is nobody free of sin. You're totally right.
And it really kind of comes down to the first century where men attempted to rely on their own behavior to win favor with God, which doesn't change today, and
yep.
Speaks to our only hope is the power of the gospel. So.
That's it, and so many of this, and John, thank you. So many people saying, I can't be Catholic anymore, or everybody should leave the church. Hugh Hewitt this morning says, if you live in the Diocese of Washington, don't put a dime in the basket there until they get rid of their head Archbishop, I guess, of D.C. That's a marketplace thing you can totally do. But if you're looking to bail on your church because of this, that's crazy. Because even all of this entire racket in Pennsylvania, one of my favorite points made during the day yesterday, Pennsylvania did this after looking around for 2 years. Honestly, I'll tell you what, when is Ken Paxton on? He's on tomorrow. He's popping in. What time is Ken tomorrow? 8:35. And you know how much I've been a longtime friend of Ken's. I want to ask him, is he getting heavy suggestions? And if not, I'll make one. That we do exactly the same kind of examination in our state. Is there a state that is immune from this? I'm betting not. And if it's happening in one parish somewhere with one priest and one boy or girl or whoever, it's worth finding. So anyway, that's a way of plugging Ken Paxton tomorrow at 8:35. All right. So right now, 866-660-5759. Back to your calls next. Mark Davis, 8:32. Gordon Griffin's in the newsroom. Doing some Madonna deep cuts here on her 60th birthday. little Over and Over from 1984's Like a Virgin. Okay, this is a fascinating confluence of events for a number of reasons. It's Madonna's 60th birthday. We do big musical birthdays. I think the woman had some issues with Catholicism. I'm not sure, but if you look at that, I think she might have. And boy, do we have some this week. And so here's the train of my brain. You ready? We go through yesterday's horrible news about the horrible misbehavior of some. And we start to immediately immerse in a whole lot of people going, oh, Catholicism's dead. Oh, I got to bail from the church, which is crazy. Don't bail out of your wonderful parish and your wonderful priest and your wonderful church family because of stuff that happened in Pennsylvania. Is that same stuff happening in Texas? I'll bet you it is. We're a big state. We'll ask Ken Paxton tomorrow if he wants to kind of look into that. Looking into it is a great idea. And where you find it, you find it. But the vast majority of priests, the vast majority of parishes are obviously not engaged in this type of misbehavior. And it's not something that's going to bring the church to its end or that should stain it forever. But I will tell you, it is broad. It is conspiratorial. It is very bad. And there are people whose heads should roll. So then we get to today. And I woke up today and I was just immersed in all kinds of arguments yesterday. Not really immersed in them, just watching them. And a lot of people saying, well, I'll tell you what the problem is. It's that celibacy thing. It drives dudes crazy. You get into a job that says you can't, fulfill the normal human sexual urge. That'll do all kinds of screwed up things to you. Well, you know, I don't know, maybe. In some cases, there have been people who have said, well, you know, I've raised in the church or raised somewhere judgmental. Oh, my gosh, I'm gay. I'm kind of a pedophile. I'll become a priest. Maybe that'll fix me. Does that happen? Maybe. But is that celibacy's fault? No. And listen, there's nothing in Scripture that says you have to do this. But there's nothing in Scripture that says you have to have all male clergy. But if that's what Catholicism wants to do, that is a judgment call that it gets to make, that the church gets to make. And so in talking about the celibacy thing, I was taken back to about a year and a half ago. And this is great because I think I mentioned the column, might have read the column, tweeted the column, and then met this man on Twitter and then met him in real life because he has this wonderful continuing blog. I'll check here in a minute with Ralph Strangis on issues religious and secular, and that is Father Josh Whitfield at St. Rita, who wrote this wonderful column called I'm a Married Catholic Priest Who Thinks Priests Shouldn't Get Married. It's because he came over from the Episcopal world. They didn't make him ditch the wife and family. I'm sure he's grateful for that. But he came in married and recognizes completely the value of celibacy. So I thought I could share this column, or I could have Rhonda see if Father Josh is around. And he is. Longest intro ever. Hey, Josh, how you doing?
Hey, Mark. Good to talk to you again. How you doing?
I am doing absolutely great. For those, and I really was, I was going to verbatim share the column because it's so compelling, but this is far, far better. When did you move over to Catholicism from the Episcopal world?
I became a Catholic in 2009, and then I was ordained a Catholic priest after a while in 2012. So seems like ages ago, but it's flown by.
How many Catholic priests are married by virtue of having come over from other faiths?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't really know. In the nation, it's not common, but I should say that there's maybe 100 or so of us, but. Really, I don't know that exact number. Wow. We're a unicorn.
Exactly. You're not. It's certainly not common, but it's not so. Yeah. It's not so incredibly rare that it's recoil in shock. So what this means is that being married is not a disqualifier. Obviously, you are the priest at St. Rita. But but it does mean that for a long, 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 long time, Catholicism has said that if you are a young and single man and you're going to enter the priesthood, we're not going to permit you to get married proactively.
Right. Well, it's a discipline in the Western Church that goes back to the Middle Ages, but its practice goes even farther back. As St. Ambrose, for example, in the 4th century, talks about married priests, and he says, married priests are wonderful and everything, but they really only belong in backwoods churches. And so, I always think about that when I'm at St. Rita. So it is a practice that is ancient. I mean, really has deep strains in Luke's gospel, So You know, it's an ancient practice.
There is an image I remember from your column, because you've come over to Catholicism. You have your wife and your children. And did you make a trip to St. Peter's in full vestments, pushing your boy in a stroller?
Yeah, that was a good one for the tourists. Yeah. I think I might have been carrying my wife's purse, too.
I feel you.
Yes, you know how it is.
How are you received? How are you? I think in the same column you referred to yourself as an ecclesiastical zoo exhibit. How are you received when you show up in rooms full of priests?
Beautifully, really. I mean, it's remarkable. I've just been strangely blessed by kindness and charity, and you know, even in Rome, in the big, you know, sacristy where you get prepared for mass, and they'll have, you know, 50 masses going on at one time, and my wife and kids are in the corner of the sacristy, you know, treated with the greatest kindness. I mean, there's it felt normal, and so it's a strange experience, that the charity and openness that I've always received here in Dallas and even in the Vatican. So it's different, but it's not excluded. At least that's not been my experience.
Father Josh Whitfield with us from St. Rita in Dallas, the married Catholic priest who completely agrees with the Catholic rule that priests ought not to be married. So I think I offer the lay person's understanding of this logic, and that is that we're going to say that priests are not going to be married, so that in the absence of the usual busyness of the work that a marriage requires, all of labor of love, and the labor of love that is child rearing, if none of that's going on, it frees up the priest to focus unique attention on a relationship with Christ and a relationship with the flock. Do I basically have that right?
Yeah, that is the practical value of it, and that certainly is true in practice. There's also a deeper spiritual component. The Roman Catholic Liturgy of Ordination actually refers to it as the spiritual fruit of celibacy. And that is its symbolic value. A celibate gives up primarily not sex, but children, right? You know, sex is not that big of a deal, right? For those of you who are married, we know that it's wonderful, but it's not life itself, you know. Children, though, are a different matter. And the sacrifice my celibate brethren have made is that they don't have children. And me having four kids, I know how painful that sacrifice would be for me. And they give up they make that sacrifice because they show in their lives that the church creates itself anew without human generation, right? The church should theoretically not be a cultural church. It should be a church that of baptized, committed believers who have faith, who do not rely on father to son, mother to daughter generation. And so the celibate symbolizes that in a beautiful way when it works well. You know?
As a very curious and even more valuable supporter of celibacy in view of your own life, I don't think there's no non-clumsy way to ask this, because you're a great priest and St. Rita's loves you and you're awesome and one of my favorite people. Is there an odd way on the occasional day that in the priesthood department that you feel like you're missing out?
Not really. I mean, I feel like I'm missing out. I've never felt that I'm missing out. I do feel that I'm different, and it's a difference I have come to accept and be grateful for. I mean, because I get to go home to a beautiful, saintly wife and four beautiful but noisy, crazy kids, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's a true gift that I've learned how to sort of bring into my ministry, into my life. And it's all sort of seamless. But my relationship to my brother celibate priest, you know, and again, I think it's just Dallas might be different a bit, because the kindness and generosity of them has been remarkable. But again, I'm not one of the celibate guys. I understand that my relationship to them is different, and that's fine.
Well, there's in our last couple of minutes, because there's no ignoring the headlines, and I'm really curious to have you, because you've got so, I my heart hurts for the victims in this Pennsylvania thing, but it hurts for every good priest and every good Catholic and every good parish and every good flock, because reputations are being tainted and the guilt by association is happening everywhere. But you have a not unique, but very uncommon take of a good priest in a good parish who actually has kids. So how has the news out of Pennsylvania struck you?
Well, I mean, a few things. I have never been, I'm a deep believer in the Catholic faith, and I'm a committed Catholic, and I will be to the day I die. But I have never been as angry at an institution as I've ever been in my life over these, you know, horrible things. And so I'm angry and sad, not in that sort of self-serving way, but angry and sad for the slaughter of the innocents that grand jury report reveals. And I think of it, in Dante, the fourth circle of hell, Dante sees a whole valley full of nothing but priests, and he turns to Virgil and says, "Are all these clergy?" And the answer is yes, right? And so I've never been this mad. Which leads me to my second point, which is bring the light. You know, bring the light. We need something done which is going to tear it down to the foundations. We need something that is done to reveal all sins and crimes and to bring people to account. Forget statute of limitations. We need more of this. If we need a grand jury report every day this year to bring us to the point of truth and change, then so be it. So that's where my anger leads. I'm a believer in the Catholic faith, but boy, if we need more of this, let's bring it on.
That is precisely. I expected nothing less. And when I had Rhonda call you, I thought this is going to be great. And you did not disappoint. I am so glad to have been able to reach you. Are you and Ralph Strange still doing the Priest and the Pragmatist podcast?
We haven't done it in a while, but we're always. I was just texting with him before you called, actually. So we're talking about it. We're thinking about it. We're talking about sins, and so, you know, Ralph's an expert, and so am I. So it'll be a good podcast.
It's funny because I had both of them in studio for one of my favorite hours ever. It's probably been a better part of a year, and I think the best place I went looking for it, and over at Ralph's Senseless Productions, wonderful title.
Right.
There's a bunch of them. You can just hit the link about various words: faith, sin, fear, various other things. It's called The Priest and the Pragmatist. It is Father Josh right here, and our buddy Ralph Stranges, and it's just a wonderful opportunity to hear dialogue on stuff that we talk about here on the show all the time. Father Josh, thank you so much. Best to you and everybody at St. Rita, and thank you for being with us on the fly. It was zero notice. We are very, very grateful.
I appreciate you, Mark. You take care.
You bet. Talk to you soon. Father Josh Whitfield at FR Josh TX on Twitter, at FR, like Father, at FR Josh TX. Alrighty, 8:51, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. That was Father Josh Whitfield at St. Rita. I mean, listen, he's a responsible guy, and he said my heart has bled for individual Catholics and for Catholic priests who are part of good parishes, good communities, good churches, good people, and my heart just breaks for them. And his quote, if you didn't hear what we just had, within an hour after we're done, Rhonda will have the podcast up. Listen to the 8 o'clock hour. And, you know, right halfway through there, we started talking to Father Josh. And he said, look, I believe in the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church with all my heart, and I will serve it for all my days. But I've never been as angry at an institution as I am at the uppermost echelons of my church right now. That speaks. That was awesome. That was great. All right, 866-660-5759. Let's cruise into the 9 o'clock hour. Celibacy talk will continue. John Brennan's yanked CIA security clearance will continue. Our discussion of that. Should the police have to live in the cities that they serve? I say no. There's a member of the Dallas City Council that says, yep. And we'll get to the revenge the state of Colorado is trying to exact onto Jack Phillips, the owner of the Masterpiece Cake Shop. Remember, he respectfully declined to make a special cake for the gay couple based on his biblical beliefs. Well, they've come up with another cake they want to make Jack try to make, and they're going to come after him for this one. Little transgender celebration. Let's see if we can make him do this. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Now, if that guy ever has a GoFundMe page for his legal costs, I'll contribute to it. You know, that preening idiot Peter Strzok has a GoFundMe page. Oh, by the way, it's raked in hundreds of thousands of dollars. Free country. 858 Mark Davis, 660 AM, the answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.